Right now it is time to bring in the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys. You can always find them on the web at tqag.com, but also on a Tuesday morning right around 7:35, 7:36 here on Robinhood Radio. Happy holidays, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it just me?
Where's Greg? I saw him here about a few moments ago. Well, I've got
it. Sure.
I guess I have to add him to the call again. So here we go.
Ping him.
Here we go.
See him.
Here's that one. I've got two Greg Stroms here. Oh, I'm going to take this one, the one with the board picture.
You can only take one.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here. Let's see if this works. I took the boyhood picture one. Let's see if he joins in here.
Okay.
Nope, he's not. He says calling. His phone must not be properly.
Live radio. Love it.
Well, what the heck, you know? We'll figure this out. I hope he's on his phone because that's the thing that works the best.
He should be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's not working.
Hi.
I'll give him a try again in a second.
Sure.
There's an article that I wanted to talk about last week. I found it in the New York. I didn't find it. Jill found it. Come on, anybody knows. I don't read the art section for the New York Times. Come on, I'm not going to lie to you folks. I mean, when Jill finds something and gives it to me, I do read it, but I don't thumb through the New York Times. I just don't. Okay, but there's a story here that I was meant to talk to you about last week, and that is the 65 foot tall stage curtain for the Magic Flute at the Met being auctioned off.
I wonder if Greg knows about that because he's such an opera buff and fan. We have not seen that. We didn't see that, which is interesting. But what I will tell you, just from my experience of things that have sold at auction, there have been a number of opera-related items that have gone up. And the one biggest one that comes to my mind is when Christie sold the Nureyev collection. That was just probably the most all in one sale. For the most part, opera and Broadway, when you get Broadway costumes or Broadway memorabilia, let's say, those sort of things, they don't bring as much as when you're talking about Hollywood memorabilia or rock and roll memorabilia and things like that. So you know what we'll do, Marshall, is if we don't get Greg, I'll have him research that. We can talk more about that because I know that he'll have a lot to say, I'm sure.
Gosh, you know, it's funny. The one picture of him has a picture of a phone with two little marks, but the other picture of him was just a picture of him that's in color, not the one as a cowboy or whatever. So I'm going to try the other one for the heck. What the heck, you know?
I think that's the one. Is he on?
We'll find. He's not.
Hello?
He's not on yet.
Oh. Hello?
Greg, are you there?
There he is.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Where the hell you been?
I've been trying to answer. I kept pressing, but nothing would happen.
Technology. I tell you. Well, anyways, well, good. Now we can get your opinion on what we've been talking about. And that is the 65-foot tall stage curtain for the Magic Flute at the Met being auctioned off.
Oh, we have a place to hang it.
No, we don't.
Where do you, outside, maybe, if you've got 65-foot wall.
No, I did not know that. Yeah. I did not know that.
What's interesting about it's expected to sell at auction. And to me now, this seems low, $250,000 to $500,000.
Well, I think as a pre-auction estimate, that might possibly be, that could be a good estimate. The thing is, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite that large, a piece of art sell. So it's kind of new territory.
Well, and also things from an opera, which I was saying is that the biggest sale would have been Nureyev, but usually things from opera and Broadway don't really bring as much as other memorabilia. But I wonder, is this who designed it? It could be the designer, too.
Well, it's a big piece in it. It's an art piece. And I would think somebody that has like a barn and has art that they display, or a gallery. It's big. It's 20 feet taller than the Hollywood sign, and 25 feet taller than a telephone pole, and 46 feet taller than a full grown giraffe.
Marshall. And that's great, and that's all wonderful. This is what I love about you. The biggest thing about this is that it says Marc Chagall, so it's a Chagall designed finale curtain. So that's really why it's estimated there at $250,000 to $450,000, and it's being auctioned by Bonhams. Is amazing. It's the design.
Have you ever seen it?
I'm looking at a picture of it in the New York Times.
Yeah, I see it now.
Spectacular. It's quite a spectacular thing. And I mean, okay, it is a very large piece of art, but it's going to have to go, I would think, to a museum because.
Well, it says it was too large, Greg, for a museum in Armenia to display.
Yeah. We're not talking about Armenia, New York. We're talking about Armenia.
Armenia, yes. But Marc Chagall created this. So, okay, this makes much more sense. I thought that there had to be something. So this was. Magic Flute in the 1960s. At about the same time, he designed Chagall also did the famous murals that flank the Met's lobby at Lincoln Center. Now, see, this is a process that we go through as appraisers and also in dealing with auction, is that size is one thing, and you were talking about that now, that's a consideration to a purchaser, because if you don't have the size or if you don't have anywhere to put this, then you might not be a bidder for this. But then when you see that this was created by Marc Chagall and that it also fits in, and it was done around the same time as all the murals that were done in the Met lobby, and all of a sudden now I understand 250 to 500 seems pretty reasonable and maybe low for this piece. And it's interesting, in the article it says the curtain's gigantic size is why it's being sold. It's too big for the spot where the most recent owner wanted to hang it. So, yeah. Wow.
I wonder what the most recent owner paid for it.
It was the museum. Probably were either going to donate it or do something in Armenia, because it says it was the most recent owner wanted to hang it in a museum in Armenia, a lofty pyramid with artificial waterfall that is almost as tall as the Empire State Building. So it was folded, put back in its custom-made crate, and returned to New York. Oh, my God.
What if you fold it? Don't you get creases in it?
Well, yeah, I would think so. But it does say it takes a special place, says Molly Ott. And I worked with Molly at Gurjohn's. She left Gurjohn's and went to Bonhams. So she's the senior vice president. And she says it's a unique object to consider. Well, yeah, I bet. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Where it would fit, and this is amazing. We have a museum that's opening up in Winsted, and it's a museum of murals, one big mural, the American Worker,
and
they've been working on it for years. They bought an old factory, they raised $1 million to raise the ceiling.
Yep.
And this is a place like this that could display something like that. Somebody needs an old factory, like, hey, what about Mass Mocha? They probably have plenty of room to store.
Oh, they probably could. Yeah.
I mean, that campus has buildings that can probably house a ship, for gosh sakes. I'm just saying it was an interesting story that Joe gave me and now I understand how important it is, but
yes.
I was looking at it and I said to myself, it doesn't look that big in the picture.
No. You know, it's deceptive because that photograph, but when you see those when you realize and look to the left and you see where the boxes are, you think, yeah. "Oh, yeah, that's pretty big."
Well, it's much
if you've ever if you've ever been in the I don't know if well I'm not
I have not been in, I have
here.
Not been in the
I'm
Met,
not no. I, yeah I'm not bragging here, but if you've ever walked across the Met stage, believe me, I have. It's large as the entire opening of the proscenium, so you can imagine how large this thing is. So it's going to take some place to store or to hang it. But I think I think it easily could sell for more than that, just because it is what it is. So,
well, it'll be interesting. We're going to have to follow that, Greg, and just see what that sells. And on that same note, something that we're following up on, Greg's going to tell you a little bit about one item that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It was James Bond's gun that was going up for auction. And Greg, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, it was the handgun that was used by Sean Connery as 007 in Dr. No. And it was estimated at $150,000 to $200,000, and it sold above the estimate of $256,000. The one thing that I'm not sure of is if that was the hammer price, or if that also
includes
the buyer's premium. Yeah, so $256,000, which is a good chunk of change. Interestingly enough, though, the weapon. Whoever purchased it, it includes a certificate of deactivation from the London Proof House, and the certificate says that it's been rendered unusable, it's not capable of discharging any ammunition, and it came from the arms house called BAPTY, BAPTY, and they provide a lot of the armor and arms for movies and television, and it's been in their care up until 2006, and I think it was sold, someone purchased it, and it's been in a private collection since, and so this is the first time it's come up. So and another interesting note is whoever buys it is going to have to register the firearm in accordance with the state and federal authorities or federal laws. So, which, as we know, they vary from state to state. So this will be this is a fun thing. And I think this particular piece, every movie that you see it with James Bond, that opening scene with that gun. Yeah. Yeah. So it was used in a number of other Bond films, but it was the one thing I didn't realize it was a real gun. I thought it was a prop gun, but it's a real gun used as a prop, and they had to decommission or deactivate it so that it wouldn't discharge. So
accidentally.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm kind of hoping that some wealthy person by the name of James Bond buys it. So when they go to register it, they say, "Who are you?" "Bond. James Bond."
Right. Oh, and don't mess with me.
That would be just great if you could just go up to some poor social, worker for some sort of state government. "Bond. James Bond." And come dressed to the nines and stuff like that.
Oh, I am sure that somebody is actually named James Bond and has actually used that joke for many years.
Yeah, but they have to be wealthy enough to buy it at auction.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I mean, this isn't an eBay piece here.
Correct. This isn't a fake.
Well, the sale that this was in at was at Julian's, and the rest of the sale was interesting as well. It seemed as though the sale was more of an end of season sale, because there were things from other estates that have either been reoffered
or parts of
Doris Day, and of course Maryland. There's Maryland and everything, and some photos that haven't been seen before. So it was a fun sale, but this was definitely the highlight.
Well, this is the time that a lot of the auction houses, they're doing their year-end sales. So Julian's did 4 days of iconic sales. So they did 1 day devoted to rock and roll, 1 day to sports and pop culture memorabilia. It was 2 days to rock and roll, sports, and then Hollywood. So they really just wrapped it all in, but it was 4 days worth of auctions, and did really well. The rock and roll items did well. They had some things from some guitars from Eddie Van Halen, who just recently passed away. Yeah. And I'd asked a friend of mine who helps do the cataloging there. I said, why is it as soon as somebody dies, he has something in the auction? And he said, well, he has a number of outlets, a number of dealers that when, as soon as somebody dies, they put something in. So they immediately have it. I said, well, that's good marketing, I guess. That's good strategy.
Well, that's like the question that begs the question. When somebody famous dies, people always say, how does the New York Times get the obituary right in the next day? Well, because they're all written in advance.
Those are done. Yes, those are done. Those are done. There was one other sale that I wanted to talk about, which I thought was interesting. It was at Heritage Auctions, and it was all about space exploration. It was a space exploration auction, and the total auction did over $1.8 million. But one item just really caught my eye, because we've talked about things like this in the past. It was a piece of cloth that was flown on the two most important flights in history. So it was a piece of cloth from Kitty Hawk, and it was just an amazing piece. It sold for over $81,000, $81,250. It's a little swath. It was the Wright brothers. It was part of the wing fabric from Kitty Hawk from 1903. And then it was flown in 1969. And it was part of this mission. And this little, it looks like a 2-inch by 2-inch just piece of cloth, and it's not just by itself. Here again is where memorabilia and collectibles are put in the case. They're encased. It looks like it's in one of those trading cards, you know, for baseball cards or Pokemon cards that they put the plastic on. But it's been graded, and it has been authenticated, and it comes from also a big collection. It's the Armstrong family collection where this did come from. But just an amazing piece. And then there were a number of other items. There was a Charlie Duke's lunar module flown sunglasses. So his sunglasses, which they also say had traces of lunar dust that were on the sunglasses, but those sunglasses also sold for $75,000. So it's fascinating the appetite that collectors have for space and space flown space exploration auctions. I love that they're calling it that. So I think we're going to see more and more of these in the future, because when these things start selling for these, you know, these amounts of money, when you have tens of thousands, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 items, more and more of these items come out of the woodwork. You know, so I think we'll see more of those.
You know what's going to go for sale? On Monday, Chuck Yeager passed away. And Chuck Yeager, of course, was one of the United States Air Force's most decorated pilots. I think he was the first person to break the sound barrier. And there's got to be so many personal things that he owned, whether it was a flight jacket or a helmet or whatever, that will bring, I think, big money, big money. Eventually. So it won't be long before we see something from that, because it's amazing.
You're exactly right.
Imagine being the first man to break the sound barrier and doing all those test flights, and you live to be 97, and you get a poor person that just drives a milk truck and delivers milk every day, and they'll die at the age of like 35 or 40. And this guy whose whole life was lived on the edge.
On the edge.
97.
Well, it's ironic that a hero like that, a true hero, he died on a very somber day. He died yesterday.
Yeah,
actually.
Pearl Harbor Day. Yeah,
Pearl Harbor Day. So I mean, it's kind of a
if you're gonna go
a tribute in a way.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Right. One other item that was also in this sale. It was another flown item. And I just think these are just amazing. I mean, it's interesting things that they take these things up in the on their space journeys. This was an Apollo 14 lunar module flown Bible, and it was from the personal collection of country music legend Bill Mack. And this Bible sold for $22,500. It's just interesting to me. I find it interesting these items that then, you know, go up into space that are in collections. It's been documented. You have these things, and that then people, you know, just want to get their hands on and add to their collection. So it was fascinating. Sunglasses, most, Bibles, piece of cloth.
It might have been the most expensive Bible to come up for auction.
No.
We've tried. So people want us to sell their family Bibles over the years for thinking that they're very valuable, and they just don't sell.
Well, I'm sure Donald Trump's family Bible will sell for big money. Okay. Well,
or the Bible he held in the photo op, right. The Bible upside down.
If it doesn't explode first.
That's right. All right, guys, I'll speak to you next week.
Oh, have a good week, Marshall.
And Greg, get that phone fixed, Greg.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Goodbye. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. You can find them at tqag.com on the web.